Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We're going to do a very interesting study today. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to open all eyes and ears today with understanding of what's really going on and of your great grace that's being shown to us at this particular time in history. And that it's temporary, it's just to give us a little time. So we thank you for this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm going to first share a revelation given to Eve Brast with you. And we're going to talk a lot of scripture after that. So hang with me here. We're going to call this Satan and his body cast down for now. Eve received this revelation on the 27th of October. She dreamed that it was election day. Wow, that's pretty close, huh? A vision opened up to me of two voting booths with the curtains open. And she says, meaning nothing hidden. It was dark in the vision except for a bright white light shining down from above on the booths. Must be a couple of important booths, more than we normally speak of. And Eve said, we are in very dark times leading up to this election. Yes, that's true. I saw David standing in both booths, dressed in a white polo shirt and light blue jeans, with the light shining upon him. I believe David here represents the David Manchild ministry, pre-anointed Manchild ministry. An election here, I believe, is a play on words. You know the word eklektos in the New Testament Greek word means chosen. And I believe that the man-child and the bride have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We know that Esther and Mordecai were chosen to bring to naught Satan's plan to destroy God's people. And they didn't fail. This was a prophecy for our day. Satan has taken over the deep state faction government because they worship him and sacrifice to him. And Satan has taken over the deep state faction in the church, if you will, for the same reason. They don't realize it, but it's true. And this is a parallel, as we have been told by the Lord before, several times. Eve said, I understood that the booths were a mirror image. I knew that these mirror images indicated the Trump, Cyrus, / David Manchild parallel. And David was facing the computer screen, and I knew that the David on the right cast a vote for himself. And I believe that this represents a vote for the election of the man-child over the satanic faction in the church, because there is a competition going on right there, just as there is in the world. The David on the left cast a vote for Donald Trump. And I believe that this is a vote for the election of the Trumpian forces in these days. Obviously, he's not up for election, but really he is, in a way. An election of the Trumpian forces over the satanic deep state faction in the government. And this election is to promote President Trump and his policies. and parallel to this, to promote the man-child and God's policies. It will expel from the government the satanic deep state faction forces, and it will install the Trumpian forces. And it will expel the power of the satanic faction forces in the church and install God's forces. Is this going to happen on a day? No, I don't think so, but it's going to happen over a little period of time. And an important part, of course, is the election. Yeah. The two Davids are the vote that counts, because it's Father who promotes and puts down governments, not the votes of men. Romans 13 tells us, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. See, God has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And he uses both for his glory. He could have taken Satan himself out a long time ago, and people think it would have saved us a lot of trouble, but he decided not to do that. He needed somebody to help him to show who's who on this earth. And it's God's plan. It's working just great. The tares are showing up as those that follow Satan, and the wheat is showing up as those that follow the Lord. So there's the plan, and it's happening. It's working. But anyway, God's in control of who goes in and who goes out. Lots of people have tried to overthrow the deep state all these many years and failed and got killed and on and on and on. I understand when President Kennedy was killed by them, and I did see the video, and I saw the person in the front seat turn around and shoot him. And that's out there still, probably. When that happened, there were people who stood up and spoke up and so on and so forth, and probably, I think, around 300 people, they figured, are dead because they did that. And now, you know, the same thing has been happening, obviously. But this election is encouraging many other nations to turn to the right. And as we can see, it is the mercy of God. It's temporary. It's going to give us a little period of time, a little period of rest, and possibly make it a little easier in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is coming, for God's people to get prepared to meet the beast in the middle of the tribulation period, because the beast is going to make war on the saints. So Sue Gilbert over here, she had a dream that Trump was handing out timepieces. And, of course, we realized that he was going to give us a little bit of time to get the church ready. You know, the church right now, if they face Satan head on, they'd lose. And that's because they've got no training from the scriptures to fight with Satan. The bride's been fighting with Satan. The man-child's been fighting with Satan and winning. And the church has to be ready to do that too. And then Eve went on to say, they both turned at the same time and faced my direction with their hands folded together in front of them. It seemed like they were in unison and singleness of purpose. Well, it's true. I mean, it's taken both. I don't believe Trump would have lasted very long at all had not he had the man, child, and bride praying and exercising authority over Satan. It just would not have happened. And so Eve asked for a word for this dream. And she said her finger was on Psalm 9 and 5. Thou hast rebuked the nations. And we're going to look at 3 through 10 for context. When my enemies turned back, they stumble and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging righteously. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy are come to an end. They are desolate forever. Well, I think you can look at them and listen to them, and you'll come to the same conclusion. Some of the goofy things they say and do, you know, nobody but a demon-possessed person could think and talk that way. And I think some of the world is waking up to realize, you know, those crazy Christians are right. There are demons. And the cities which thou hast overthrown. The very remembrance of them is perished. But the Lord sitteth as king forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. Yes, we've been desiring to see justice. And the Lord told us in one of our past meetings, in a very good word, that he was going to dispense justice. And some people are, of course, saying, especially those being persecuted by the wicked, oh, thank God, you know. The Lord also will be a high tower for the oppressed. Yes, abiding in Christ is a place of safety, right? He is a high tower. A high tower in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. This is the only way you're going to make it through these days to come, saints, is to learn to walk by faith. So many of the people of God, the Bible says the just or the righteous shall live by faith. So many of the people of God don't even know what faith is. And they're not interested in looking. And their leaders have basically turned them away from faith. And faith is, of course, calling the things that be not as though they were, simply because the Bible says so. And they don't believe the Bible. And they make that very clear, that they don't believe the Bible. So God's people could not stand up to Satan at this time. In the book of Esther, of course, we know who was used to turn it around. It wasn't the people of God. They didn't know what was going on, just like today. But Esther knew what was going on, and Mordecai knew what was going on, and they received favor from God to turn the situation around. Their plea was heard, their prayers were heard, because they were people of faith. And like I said, most of the people of God don't know what faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto the Lord, right? So we have to put our trust in the Lord. And he has not forsaken them that seek him. Now he's talking about those that go to church on Sunday. He's talking about those that seek him, those that put their trust in him, those who walk by faith in him, those that believe his promises and speak them and confess him before men, etc. Eve said, I asked by faith at random what the voting booths represented and the mirror image, and my finger was on, have you come to seize the spoil? In Ezekiel 38 and 13. We're going to read 10 through 16 for context. Eve said, I believe this has something to do with the Central American caravans and the elections coming up in November 2018. Yep, I believe that's a part of it. I do. And this text that she was given is about Satan attacking the people of God through one of his top principalities. And although few know this, the name of this principality is Gog. 1,000 years after this war of Gog leads the forces of Satan against God and is destroyed. 1,000 years later, this happens. So notice that Gog has at least been alive 1,000 years at that time. but actually since the creation, so he is not a man. What we are to see here is not the letter, but the example. In other words, we're not looking for the literal timing of Ezekiel 38, but what God is telling us in this, at this time. And God is saying, look, Satan has come to take the spoil, but he loses the war, and God is glorified. That's what we can take away from this. As we read it, I think you'll see that. You know, the spoil would have been taken by Satan had Obama had his way, Hillary and all the rest of those demonically possessed people had their way. And the Lord had threatened us with that if we didn't repent. And people cried out to him, and he heard, and he changed that. He shortened that. He gave us a space before this happens, because it is going to come. I mean, the earth is going to be given into the hand of Satan because of the rebellion and so on. It's going to happen. But by the time the beast makes war on the saints, they will be ready for it. And Trump is God giving us time. So, yes, he's come to take a spoil. Let me read to you, 10 through 16. Thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass in that day that things shall come into thy mind, and thou shalt devise an evil device. Boy, I tell you, Satan through the deep state was devising an evil device. I mean, they kept wars going so that funds keep going into their hands through the military-industrial complex. And, of course, they wanted to start this war with Russia and fail because everybody knew what they were doing. We call them the stupid demons. Anybody that couldn't see what they were after, they don't have their eyes opened, you know. They just wanted to do the same old thing. Let's start a war, you know, and that way their eyes will be off of us. They'll have their hands busy, and we can make money at it, you know, basically. So Satan had an evil device planned here, but God's people kept praying and kept exercising authority over Satan and his dominion. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Well, now, you know, I would say that fits America better than it fits Israel. And a lot of things in this text does fit America better than it does Israel. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell securely. Well, I'd say we're much more secure than Israel. I mean, they're getting missiles lobbed at them all the time, you know. All of them dwelling without walls. Well, that doesn't really fit Jerusalem very good either. And having neither bars nor gates. To take the spoil and to take the prey, and to turn thy hand against the waste places that are now inhabited. So this was speaking, of course, to Gog. We didn't quote that particular part, but a little further down it mentions him. Concerning him and his army of willing humans. His demons in his humans were coming to do this. And they failed. And we know that we also have waste places that are now inhabited. And he says, and against the people that are gathered out of the nations, and we are called the melting pot of the nations, and have gotten cattle and goods. Well, Israel has not been known for cattle and goods. They are trying to raise, you know, the red heifer, but they don't have a lot of room for cattle and goods. They import most of their beef and stuff like that. That dwell in the middle of the earth. Okay, well, that's a good point. I would say Israel and Jerusalem, you know what's in the middle of Jerusalem is USA. USA. that dwell in the middle of the earth, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take the spoil? Yes, I want to tell you, anybody that watched how Obama and Hillary used ISIS and people like them in the Middle East to march through that land and kill as many Christians as they could and overthrow nations with false flags, they got very good at it. They started ISIS in the first place. And then they were invading this country with as many radical Muslims as they could get in here. And there are camps all around the United States where they're practicing to overthrow this country. So yes, they planned on taking a spoil. Hast thou assembled thy company to take the prey? To carry away, silver and gold? And to take away cattle and goods? To take great spoil? Well, they invaded the country for the purpose of overthrowing it. They knew that these people would only vote for Democrats, as crazy as they were, because the Democrats were leaning towards them and defending their spirits, and because they were defending their spirits, they got the same spirits as Islam. And, of course, the nations in Europe are proving what would have happened here had not God turned it around here. They're getting raped, knifed, burned, all these things, while their leadership has more favor for the Islam than they do for the people of their own land. And they wonder what happened. How could these people be so crazy? They received their demons. And by the way, they did it in this country too, and would have done the exact same thing. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord, in that day when my people Israel dwelleth securely, shalt thou not know it. Okay, so in the natural, we're talking about Israel here, right? And who is Israel in the Old Testament? It's the Old Testament church. That's who they are. And like I said, in Jerusalem is USA. They both have a very common war pattern. Israel and the USA have a common war pattern. God is favoring America, has favored for many years America, as he has favored Israel. Because his people who are circumcised in heart instead of flesh are here. And the New Testament spiritual Israel is here. And of course, natural Israel is favored because from among them will come a remnant of covenant people. The overwhelming majority of them today are not covenant people. They don't even claim to be. And they don't like Jesus either. So what we want to take away from this is the example. Okay. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the uttermost parts of the north. That's where the beast always came from, is the north against Israel almost every time. Thou and many peoples with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. Yes, it didn't really look like it was even possible to turn this thing around. But God. And, of course, God moved on the hearts of his people to pray and to believe him and to exercise authority over the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. And things got turned around and are still turning around. And now we're heading towards a red wave. Praise God. It's like the Red Sea, right? Remember, we've talked about the Red Sea, how the Red Sea is coming, the full manifestation of it is coming. We've been seeing it all along, but it's getting greater and greater. And this red wave is just like that wave in the Red Sea. It's going to take them down. And it shall come to pass in the latter days, I guess we can say we're there, that I will bring thee against my land, that the nations may know me. Look at the purpose here. He's going to give an awesome example so that the nations will know this is God. Nobody else could have done this. Look at the nations, you know, in Europe, which don't profess to be Christian nations at all. Look what's happening to them. They're almost overcome. They've lost quite a bit before they started looking at the example of what was happening in America and deciding they needed to emulate that. He said, I will bring thee against my land. He has done this, that the nations may know when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog. Meaning, God's power is going to be seen in how he handles Gog. Just like he said about Pharaoh. He said the same thing, basically, about Pharaoh. And the nations did pay close attention when Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea, and they passed over the sea on dry ground. Don't you think they became famous? Well, this is where we're going, folks. And he's doing it, look, before their eyes. He's doing it before their eyes. He's going to show the nations that there is a God, a real God. He's not the one going around killing people and sacrificing babies and killing as many people as possible and full of hatred and criticism and anger. No, he's not their God, but he is the God, and he's showing his kindness to his people, who are not out there with weapons, by the way. They're out there with the spiritual weapons. They're out there praying. God's hearing, and God's turning things around. And it's a great example. It's a great miracle for anybody that has any common sense. Look, Satan thought to use the deep state to exalt his throne above the stars of God, which he said to Abraham was his people. The stars of God are his people, his born-again people. We are the sons of Abraham. Not according to the flesh or the letter, but according to the Spirit. We are the sons of Abraham through faith. That's what Paul said. He is being cast down. Notice, he sought to put his throne above the stars of God, but he's being cast down by the man-child and the bride, and yes, even using the voting booths to prove this. The deep state has, I believe, another attack, or maybe this involves many attacks in one, to do on their own countrymen. How wicked are these people? They are Judases, just like the deep state in Christianity, the faction in Christianity. These are Judases. So they've got this another attack to do, and they're desperate. They know they're headed for Gitmo, and they're desperate, and they think that they can stir up enough trouble here to get the attention off of them while making money, because basically Trump has been cutting them off from their source of money. And as desperate as they are, I understand there has been 12 attempts on Trump's life at this time, and all of them were put down. So it never took anywhere near that before to take out presidents by these people. They are organized crime to the max, and they are Satan to the max. Anyway, they've got another sacrifice to make, and on their own countrymen. And I believe it'll turn the whole world against them. And of course, they're getting Gitmo and other places like it ready for them. Some of them won't make it that far. Well, I received this in our email on the 2nd about the great demon horde that is arrayed against us. But this is not new. They've been there from the beginning of this revival of freedom. They've been there from the beginning. A sister I knew, for some years before the first faction happened in 2011, she said she saw it. She saw it very clearly. And she said, David, the demons were all around you and UBM. And she kept telling me that. She said, there were many, many of them. They were all around you, you know. I said, okay, you know. And sure enough, she was right. It happened. And, of course, these people worshiped those demons after the demons entered into them, you know. So they didn't recognize this fact and wouldn't recognize this fact. But let me let you hear from this sister here. Actually, Frances McKenzie sent this to me on November the 2nd. And it was written by Lois Vogel Sharp, King of Glory Ministries. And she said, they are here. And the date, 11/2/2018. Warning, they are here. The demons, right? And, of course, there's a related post on Steve Quayle's site. And here's the title that Lois gave to this. A Word of Supernatural Evil About to Befall the Earth by Lois Vogel Sharp. The coming holiday season will be so vastly different when the fallen ones and the hordes of hell are unleashed upon the earth. Yes, things will be different, and people will have learned a good lesson. So let me share this with you. Brother, and I believe she was addressing Steve Quayle. Brother, I am in awe right now because God showed me the other day a darkness in the sky, and I felt something going on. Last night I was praying and God told me how the constellations tell it all and that he was going to show me something in the heavenlies. Yes, you know the constellations, we've studied them before, they do tell the whole story. God designed the stars, he put them up there, he designed the planets, he put them up there, and they do tell the story. And it's glorious too. Most people can't interpret it. If you don't know the scriptures, you can't really interpret the story. But if you know the scriptures, you can interpret the story. It's very clear. So, Sister Lois went on to say, I am so freaked out right now in my spirit. Well, we're not to fear them, for we have authority over them. And if we know we have authority over them, we're not going to fear them. And fear, of course, is faith in reverse. If you show fear before the devil, you're going to get your head pounded in. So we must be careful to exercise faith in God and to respect him as sovereign king. The devil's not sovereign over nothing. Okay? Even in the story of Job, you can recollect how that God had to give Satan permission to do the things he did to Job. Of course, Job came out of it a better man, and we all learned a lesson without necessarily having to go to the depths of persecution that Job did. If we just read it a little bit, we'll hopefully get the message without it having to be manifested on us, right? Because this morning I saw it all clear as day. They are here, the evil ones. They are here in the heavenlies waiting to attack mankind. And, of course, they have been here all along. ready to attack mankind, and they, of course, get permission from us. All authority in heaven and on earth was given to Jesus, and he passed it along to us. And the only way the devil gets his authority is we give it to him. When we agree with him, we give it to him. When we fear him, we give it to him. Do you remember Dimitri Dudeman's vision of Satan and his army marching on the people of God? And Satan marched up to them in all of his perverted glory, and he separated them. And he said, all of you that don't believe that you can conquer me and my army, go to the left. So the goats went to the left. And all of you that believe you can conquer me, go to the right. And so, to make a long story short, he said that you people who have lived your lives, duplicitous lives, compromising with me, I have authority over you. And basically, they jumped on him and there was a bloodbath. And I'm doing this from memory, so. And when he turned to the people on the right, they started singing and praising God and confessing faith. And Satan got smaller and smaller and smaller until, poof, he was gone. You have to believe that you can conquer him because God put him under your feet. You can't conquer him as long as you walk in sin. This motivates us highly to be in Christ and not in sin. Right. But they've been here all along. I had to write to you because you will know what I mean, brother. This is it for real. I am getting so moved in my spirit right now. Cannot contain myself. I am going to do a video about this, brother. You are so right. I know it. God has shown it to me, and I can see it, and I can feel it. We better realize what we are in for. We are going to closing today on the land, and this is not a coincidence that God is showing me this. The land I think she's talking about is a land of safety, a refuge, so to speak. And it's only a refuge, by the way, if the people on it are abiding in Christ and speaking faith and exercising authority over the devil and his minions. You can't. There is no such thing as a refuge outside of that. If you are not a refuge, you can't live in a refuge. And the refuge is really not there to just let people have a vacation through the tribulation period. It's there for people to raise their families while they bring the gospel to the world. Yeah. So she said, this is not a coincidence that God is showing me this. These evil entities are going to take over man and robots. Well, I think she got that maybe from Steve, you reckon? Probably. He teaches a lot about that. Man and robots, and move to take over the earth. Well, of course. But the Lord's got the devil on a long leash. When he came through the land of Egypt, he said he wouldn't permit the destroyer to come into their houses if the blood was upon their lintel and doorpost. He wouldn't permit it. That doesn't sound to me like they have authority. They have power. But authority is exercised over their power. And he even said the same to us. I give you authority over all their power. So he's going to move to take over the earth, of course. But he can only take what God lets him have. And all of this is a lesson. And all of this is for God's garden down here on earth, right? And at this time, we forbid it. For what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? Are we really believers? She went on to say, "It is my purpose to tell the people and gather the army of the Lord for this battle. We will go into safe havens when it gets really bad." Well, I don't think safe havens are for that. Safe havens are for people to raise their families so that we don't have to go and hide. We can go and bring the gospel out there. By the way, safe havens are Psalm 91, the Passover. These are safe havens, and you can take them everywhere you go. And of course, if there's any refuge out there, it will be the people who believe this and understand this. We're not going to hide out for this battle. This is not what this is all about. Yes, Jesus didn't teach his disciples under the Pharisees' nose. He walked out in the wilderness. He taught them out there. It was much more possible for him to do this without interruption, right? Of course, he did that. But then they went back to their very own people and brought the gospel, right? Okay, so we just have to stick with the pattern. God is going to open up the doors for me to get out there and tell them this. And by the way, we do have to tell them that you must resist the devil. If you do, he will flee. He will flee, which means he has no authority unless he can convince you that he's right and you've already lost. But we know he's wrong and he's already lost. Okay? This is it, brother. We're here. And this is the final countdown. We must all love one another so we can have the strength we need to make it through this terrible time in the history of this world. Yes, this is so true. If you love one another, you will have the protection of God. If you don't, if you're critical, unforgiving, you have no benefits of God whatsoever because you're not forgiven. These people are going to be slaughtered. They have compromised with the devil. The devil will try to take over, and we must stand our ground no matter what happens to us. Well, I hope what happens to us is we win. We win. And this is going to be possible because it is necessary for God's people to be protected. They don't have enough sense to stand for themselves. It's necessary for them to be protected until they're grown up enough and the fivefold ministry is, you know, ordained and the church is set in order and the house of God is being built, in other words, right? It's necessary for now. But you see, just as the man, child, and the bride have been tested by the devil coming against them, and they've learned to rest concerning all this and exercise their authority, so the same is going to have to happen for the rest of the church. That's what the tribulation is about, the rest of the church. Getting ready to stand up to Satan making war against them in the middle of the tribulation period in Revelation 13. We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lois says, we cannot deny our Lord no matter what we go through. Well, that's exactly so. You're going to be tempted to deny the Lord to save your life. And everybody that seeks to save his life is going to what? Lose it. And everyone who seeks to lose his life for Jesus' sake and the gospel is going to gain it. And we're talking about the old life, right? And she says, "I am so freaked out right now." Of course, we are to fear nothing but God, right? "I am so freaked out right now because I knew this, but I just saw it." Yes, it's becoming a living example before her eyes in her vision, right? "I see the demons in the heavenlies, and God told me he was going to show me something. I do not want to scare the people, but they must be ready spiritually and they have to be told." Yes, we don't want to scare people. We want people to know that you have dominion over the devil. And for you and your household and those that are out from under the curse, you have total dominion. For others, you have a little lesser dominion because they choose sin. And when they choose sin, your defense of them only lasts just so long, right? You, my brother, have been right for many years, and this is it. They are here for real, and this is no joke. Please pray for me so I can get the message out there too. I know I am meant to get out there more than I am, for this is critical, and they must hear what is happening. Okay. I had to write to you because you will know what I am saying is truth for you to see it. This world is never going to be safe. Well, let me say this. For those who never believe they can be safe, that they don't have a Psalm 91, that they don't have a Passover lamb who has borne the curse so that the Egyptians are taken out and they are not. For those people, there is no place that's safe. But we need to get this message out to the church that there is a place of safety in God. It's not in willful disobedience, because if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So therefore, people who sin willfully don't escape judgment. They can't. When you need a whipping, you need a whipping. But there is a place of safety, and you don't have to obey the devil. He is there to take people down. Everybody that obeys him gets taken down. He has authority over them. If he can convince you that he has authority over you, he has it. But we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. That's a word of faith. Until Jesus comes back, she says, this world is never going to be safe until Jesus comes back. Again, there are people who are going to be safe by the education of the word and by humbling themselves to the word of God. And we get out of here in the rapture. But that is not until after this tribulation time. Yes, I agree, and that's good. This is a really good thing that she believes that. Praise God, because a lot of people think, oh, we don't have to worry about any of that. We're going to all fly away. Nope, you've been deceived. Thank you, Lois, for making that plain. I love you, my brother. Please answer me back, because I feel like I'm going to explode with this knowledge, and I must tell them. I will be doing a video after we go to closing. And as I was getting this from the Lord about they're here in the heavenlies, we had a downpour of rain that was so loud, I looked out of the window to see, and the wind was blowing and the rain was pouring. Yes. Well, you know what I saw about that? Well, take a look. They fell from the heavenlies, just as is happening now by the nation turning against their dominion through the depraved leftist factions, right? They fell from the heavenlies, that pouring rain. And this is happening in order to give us a little bit of a break. Amen. She went on to say, God is speaking to us. It is scary. For sure, but it is real love. But it is real, period. Love you, and may the Lord keep us all in his care. I have to tell them, I cannot hold this inside. It is too strong in my spirit. This is real. These entities are pure evil, looking to take over man and robots, and anything they can to accomplish their destruction. God bless my brother. Stay safe. Sister Lois. All right. So, let me say, that many people don't know that Revelation 12 shows the saints casting down Satan from the heavenlies by their confession, by their faith in the blood, and because they love not their worldly lives unto death. Dead men don't die. We came here to die. We came here to lose our old life, our old soulish life, and gain the life, the Zoe life. Instead of the Suke life, we want the Zoe life. That's God's life. And that's what we get as we deny the soulish life. We die to self, and we gain the Zoe life. So these are things that the people, and it doesn't take all of the church to do this, by the way. All of the church is not doing this and never will do this. But to those who are walking in the crucified life and faith in their Lord, they have power over the second heaven forces, which will be cast down to the earth. Okay? They have power. And we, of course, need to tell the righteous to fear not, but fight and cast Satan and his hordes down. We have authority to do that at this time. There will be a time when there are people who have authority to cast Satan down, but they won't do it because they know the church needs this exercise and it needs this cleansing. You know that Satan leads people astray so that you may know who they are. The falling away has to come first, and the son of perdition be revealed. You see, the son of perdition, who was Judas in the time of Jesus, was hiding amongst the disciples, and they didn't know who he was. He was leavening the whole lump. And what happened? God sent a test. He failed it, and everybody knew, oh, there he is, the son of perdition. And, of course, he scattered then, because cockroaches don't like the light. And so it's been with us too. We have been doing this since the faction in the church and then in the government. We've been casting down Satan. And God is doing this through his people who know dominion. And they know it's been given unto us. We're not afraid. Satan is being cast down as we speak. Watch the vote if you don't believe me. He's being cast down. Yes, he is. I mean, he is in these leftist lunatics. And they're losing. They would have had dominion had not God changed because of the saints' prayers. Obama had planned it, and Obama too, which is Hillary, had planned it. And they brought their invasion force into the country, and they would have filled up the country had not someone stopped them, and he did. Praise God. And Satan was, of course, the head of the deep state government. They worshipped him. They got power by sacrificing babies and killing people and having wars. These are all sacrifices to their Lord Satan. So we have to learn to fight with faith, as Revelation 12 shows. The sequence of events there show that when the man-child is caught up to the throne of dominion, Satan is cast down to the earth. Do you remember what happened to Haman? The ring was taken from him and given to Mordecai. From then on, he was a goner. You know why God gives the ring to Haman's? Because God's people don't fear him. Now we can see that fear of him and faith in him can do the job. So when the man-child was caught up, Satan was cast down. And he was cast down because of the words of their testimony, and because they love not their life unto death, and because of the blood of the Lamb. So, because he can't do anything with the man-child. This man-child is in heavenly places, spiritually speaking, and has dominion, and they know it. So he can't do anything with them. So what does he do? He goes after the woman who has not yet learned this lesson. Now, you see, you have to learn this lesson in self-defense. If you don't learn this lesson, the devil's going to pound your head in. We have to learn to walk as sons of God, not sons of men. So then the woman was given her heavenly wings by the teaching of the man-child body. And then Satan couldn't touch the woman either. So he goes after her seed. Read the story there, Revelation 12. I just shortened it for you quite a bit. So the secret is to abide in heavenly places by abiding in Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Where are heavenly places? Is it somewhere up in the sky? No, it's in Christ. He tells us very plainly in Ephesians. So by abiding in Christ, we have sanctified lives, and we also have dominion. We have authority because we believe we have authority. If you don't believe you have authority, you don't have it, because Jesus made it very plain. You either are a believer or you're not. Right? So by faith in Christ, we have dominion. Matthew 18:18-19 says, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And we can change this to forbid and permit, right? What we forbid will be forbidden, and what we permit will be permitted. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven." Now, what do you have to do when you ask? Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them." So you have to believe you have received them. And the devil's busy trying to talk you out of that. And if he can talk you out of that, you've got no dominion. That's where our dominion comes from. You go through these trials for a purpose. They are to prepare you for bigger things. Don't keep flunking these trials. You fight the good fight of the faith, and you win even in these little things. And when you get to the big things, they won't be a problem. You say you're lazy. You don't want to go through this. You just soon go to man and have him take care of things and, you know, trust in the arm of the flesh. Well, he says, "Cursed is the man that trusts in man and maketh the flesh his arm." Cursed. You want to live under the curse? Go ahead. Do it man's way. But that's not what Christians are called to. We're called to be sons of God. So he said, "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." And Luke 9:1 says, "And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority," which is the right to use power, "over all demons." See, he didn't just give you power. He gave you the authority. "And to cure diseases." He gave them authority to cure diseases. And, of course, Jesus gave us the example that we go out, and anybody that believes the gospel, they can have the benefit. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." Isn't that something? Well, if you believe it, you get it. If you don't believe it, you certainly don't get it. "Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you," said Jesus. Believing is very important. There's too many non-believing Christians out there. And, of course, the devil is going to slaughter them if they don't learn better. You know, the deep state I believe, will attack by the sword, as they did in Las Vegas, where ISIS was used, helicopters were used. Witnesses said so before they died at the hands of these murderers. Shooting from different buildings, shooting from the ground. There were a lot of people doing shooting. But the people that spoke up, they're dead. Then people learned not to say anything, and it all quieted down. But everybody knew what really happened there. Yeah, ISIS was used. You know, ISIS is in the country today, by the way. Other radical groups are in the country today, practicing, getting ready for this. And the pestilence, they've tested out the chemtrails. They know what makes people sick. They know what kills people. And they're able to do it anytime they want to. And most people still think they're contrails. How? I don't know. You know, but they think they're contrails. This is really dumbing people down. The contrails are really dumbing people down. And, of course, why would the deep state do this attack at this particular... They're desperate. They don't want to go to the military tribunals. They've got to cause enough trouble that people will be so distracted that they'll leave off this war against them. They've done distractions like this before. So we know that Babylon conquered the people of God, the apostate people of God, by the sword and by pestilence. So is it unusual that they would do it? We've received many revelations from God about their using pestilence, and they're using it in different places, bringing back old diseases and stuff. But it's just in the testing stages now. It's not really, it's killing a lot of people, I got to tell you. I mean, there are a lot of people in the hospitals dying of pneumonia when it wasn't pneumonia in the first place. It came right out of the chemtrails. So we've been receiving that God will turn this wrath that they're going to use. God's going to turn this wrath to kill the wicked, evil government in the church and in the government, so that the man-child reformers can lead the freed-up church into the wilderness. As we've pointed out, you know, if you have a pestilence, people don't generally gather in large groups of people. Mega churches probably wouldn't happen. And especially if they go to burn them, you know, it wouldn't happen. So God is scattering his people through persecution, which he's done before. Remember in the book of Acts, they were all very comfortable around Jerusalem, and he scattered them out and sent the gospel everywhere, you know. So God's not beyond that. Well, what happens since God is going to redirect this thing? You think he can't do it? Let me tell you. Think about when the destroyer passed over. And whatever it is that he used to kill those people, he was able to kill the firstborn of every family in Egypt. Wow. How can you do that without killing the rest of them? Because God has absolute dominion over who dies and who lives. I kill, I make alive, the Lord says. I, the Lord of hosts. He said, I won't permit the destroyer to come into your house when I see the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. So they escaped because they lived under the blood of Jesus. And the Egyptians didn't escape, but not just that. I mean, the destroyer had to know who was the firstborn. This is not an accident. God has perfect and absolute dominion over who dies and who lives. He can take their plague that they loose out there and kill the people he killed when he did that in Egypt. So They laid a trap and they fall into it. This is what I believe. At least I think this is Lord, what the Lord has shown us. And I too believe that the whole world is realizing who they are and what they've done. They just don't want to speak up. The silent majority of people that are going to the booze, they know what's going on, but they don't want to say too much. They like their peace and so on and so forth. But I believe when they do this thing, the whole world will be against them when this attack, and many of them will be exterminated. Our Robin saw in a dream just a few nights ago that many dragons were dead in the bottom of this stream of water. And she was looking at one of the last ones, just studying it, and it was about to die. Well, living waters, a stream is living waters. It really means moving waters. Living waters is what God said would come out of his people. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. It's the Spirit words. The living waters are Spirit words that come out of his faithful, Spirit-filled people. It'll come out of their mouth to destroy the body of the dragon. Now, you know that the dragon in Revelation 12 had a body. He was called the dragon, but he had the seven-head, ten-horned body, which was what? Mankind, all lost mankind. Seven heads, the seven kingdoms that ruled the earth and conquered God's people, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome, and the ten continental divisions of the earth. So Satan has taken on a body. It's every lost person on earth. And he has deceived the what? The whole world, the Bible says. So Satan, in his evil body of people, is shown in Revelation chapter 12. So what happens when his people lose authority? He loses authority. And we've received verses that show that God will take out some righteous with the wicked. But many of these righteous will not come out from among them. That's the problem. Revelation 18 and 2, and he cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become a habitation of demons." Well, that sure fits. And a hold of it, or a prison, by the way, same word, of every unclean spirit, and a hold or prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication, all the nations are fallen. Look out there. Don't you see it? The example was being set by Obama and Hillary. And now look at the nations that have fallen. And some of them are realizing this and getting back up and casting off Satan's dominion. And the kings of the earth committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Okay, so they can have a plague, and if you don't have fellowship with her sins, you don't have the plague. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Okay, let's go back to Eve's revelation here. She said, "I asked by faith at random for a word for the Trump-David merger, and my finger was on, 'Gracious is the Lord and righteous,' in Psalm 116 and 5. Context is 1 through 19. I love the Lord because he heareth my voice and my supplications. How much of the church do you believe believes that God hears prayer? I tell you, it's a very small portion. Prayers of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. So prayers of faith are heard by God. The reason they don't believe God answers prayers is they've prayed and gotten no answer because they exercise no faith, and they don't know what faith is. How do we vote as Christians? I'm not getting into the vote or not vote thing here, but what turned things around? Was it the vote, or was it the prayers of faith that turned things around and caused people to see the light and vote? Okay, so you don't want to put the tail before the head, right? Prayer and faithful decrees out of the mouth of the saints is how we vote. Again, I'm not getting into the letter part of it. I'm just telling you what's going to turn things around. I want to tell you that Trump didn't have a prayer. He didn't have a prayer, and he didn't know what they were. But I'll tell you what, there were people who did pray, and their prayers were heard. Most of the people are just like the people in Esther's day. They didn't even know what was going on. They panicked when they heard. But there were people up there who were interceding to the king, and they were heard. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. There it is, right there. Who is he listening to, right? He's listening to those that come to him by faith. Wow. We must come to God by faith. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. If you believe that you have not because you ask not, just think about it. You'd start asking for everything, wouldn't you? Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death compassed me. Yeah, we saw him. We saw him. We saw him. Obama had him all ready, man. He was ready to snatch the noose. But what a shock. They knew they had won because they knew they were cheating, and they knew their cheating wouldn't fail. But when God's people cried out, he flipped the vote. I watched him do it. I was looking at the graph when he did it. I said, there he goes. Look at that. Wow. You know, you think it's man that did that? Man can put somebody in? The Bible says God is the only one that puts him in there. And the pains of Sheol got hold upon me. Yes, they were ready. They were ready to take out Christianity in America just like they did it in other lands. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And then what? Well, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was telling folks the other day, that makes me qualified. He preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. I would say that to Lois and anybody that's there. Rest in the Lord. Believe the promises. Exercise the faith. And rest in Jesus. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Pretty good text, huh? Yeah. Pretty good text. It really fits the revelation. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, for I will speak. You know, if you believe, you will speak. If you do believe, Jesus said, these signs will accompany them that believe. Most of Christianity doesn't have those signs. They don't believe in them. They've been told you can't, that passed away, you know. So they're not going to speak any faith. They call it name it and claim it. Well, yeah, there's a certain amount of truth to that. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received it, and you shall have it. Claim it. And, of course, a soul that's in sin has no boldness towards God. So continue on in your sins. You'll have no faith. You won't win any battles. Not because the truth isn't the truth, but just because you can't appropriate the truth. I believe, for I will speak. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? What can you do to bless God? He tells you, this is what he wants. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This is what we can do. For all he's done for us, this is what we can do. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be a demonstration of the power of his salvation, like those Israelites walking across the Red Sea on dry ground. And we're about to do it. And call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, yea, in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you know that some people will die and go to the Lord for different reasons? Some people, because they don't believe in Psalm 91, they'll die. Some people, because they're living in sin and they're rebelling against the Lord, they may die. Some people, because they finished their walk and they don't need to go any further, and heaven ain't bad. They'll go to be with the Lord. So there's different reasons that people will go, you know, to be with the Lord, even in the midst of this thing that's released in the country, right? Believe it or not, staying on this earth is not the best. The best is being with Jesus, right? Oh, Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. So here's people calling upon the name of the Lord, paying their vows, giving thanks to the Lord is one way it speaks about the scriptures, paying our vows to the Lord, right? Giving thanks to the Lord for everything. Yeah. So this brought about them saying, thou hast loosed my bonds. So others will be set free from bondage to wicked men and doctrines of demons, right? Yes. The Lord is so gracious and merciful to us. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows. There it is, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What do you thank God for? Everything he said he gave you. Do you give him thanks for only the things that you have in your hand? Or do you give him thanks for everything he said he gave you? Yes, that's the answer right there. Be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. So when you ask for something, since he said, you, if you believe it, you will receive it, just receive it and thank him for it right there. Thank him. Thank him for everything. You can thank him for the persecution you've gone through. It's brought about fruit in your life. You can thank him for everything. And this is what paying our vows unto the Lord is, according to verse 18. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Yes, praise him, and thank him. And Eve said, I asked by faith at random what this dream means for America concerning the elections and the caravans of illegals. And my finger was on Ezekiel 34 and 20. Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Okay, now, so there's some fat sheep out there and some lean sheep out there. We're going to look at the context here, 20 through 24. Let me say this. The fat sheep was spoken to a fat with fleshly prosperity leadership of God's people. And the lean sheep are those whom they have plundered and taken advantage of. In the context, go and look at it. I think you'll agree. Verse 20, therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns until you have scattered them abroad, what do the denominational preachers do with people who don't agree with their doctrines and things? Do they give them time to grow up and to get a foundation of word in them and so on and so forth? Or do they demand that they agree with them? Which is a pretty dangerous thing to do in most cases, actually. So you either agree with them or you don't stay there very long, right? Now, we've watched the faction leave because they're in sin. In fact, we hardly ever have to throw anybody out, which the Bible does tell you to do in 1 Corinthians 5, that are in open rebellion and sin. We hardly ever have to do that because when they find out that you know their sin and that you disagree with their sin, their demons go nuts and they flee. So therefore, the body is sanctified. This is a good thing. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. Who are they a prey to? Well, I'd say the Judas is out there above more than most, you know, the Judases and the fat preachers. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up one shepherd over them. See, it's a rejection of the old order of the Sauls to make room for the Davids, right? I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Of course, this is the David man-child reformers that are here now, but also will be anointed greatly at the beginning of the tribulation period. You know, David was saving God's people quite a while before he got anointed to be king. Right, that's where he got his lessons at, right? He was in training, on-the-job training. Yeah. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So, do you believe it, saints? Do you see that we are, by faith, casting down Satan from his place of dominion, and at the same time, we are gaining our place of dominion. The first fruits, of course, the man-child is caught up to the throne. This is not a flyaway thing, folks. The throne is the throne of God on earth. David's throne was called the throne of God. And David, of course, didn't come to be king in order to fly away. He came to be king to rule over the people of God and deliver them from their enemies. That's why he came to be king. There's a purpose. There's a rhyme. There's a reason for this. Why would the man-child, the most valuable person on earth who's come into the image of Jesus Christ, fly away? Who do we need more than anybody else here? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where heavenly places are. The Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, is a parable. Be sure you translate it the way the Bible teaches you to translate it, right? Okay, well, talking about this dominion, that Satan is losing and we're gaining. Let's look in Isaiah 13. I'm just going to scan over 13 and go to 14 because my point is being made there very well. 13 is talking about the fall of Babylon, which means what? Confusion. Have you ever noticed the confusion that these people, these radical leftists have? Such confusion, no reasoning will ever get through to their mind. And they even get up and do it in front of groups of people. I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi and some of those. Oh my gosh. What is the matter with people? Hillary? Oh my gosh. Look what's going on there. I mean, if you haven't never seen a demon-possessed person, for goodness sake, look at that. So 13 is about the burden of Babylon, the fall of Babylon. And it talks about the woman in travail. Of course, I believe the woman's in travail right now. I don't think she's brought forth the man-child ministry yet. Although the man-child is ministering, he's not doing it with that anointing that comes, right? So, and he goes on to talk about how that this desolation of Babylon is to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Verse 9. And the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened, and in its going forth. I believe we're going to see some of that. And I will punish the world for their evil. Verse 11. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 11. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place. We've already looked at that, the earthquakes that are coming, right? And the wrath of the Lord of hosts. And down in verse 17 it says, and I will stir up the Medes against them. Well, you know Cyrus was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire that conquered them. And Cyrus, we've been told by the Lord, is Trump. And he's doing his job. And they've tried very hard to take him down. They can't do it because he's doing his job. You know? So he said, I will stir up the Medes against him who shall not regard silver. And as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their delight is in killing people, basically, you know. Taking out these wicked Babylonians, right? And verse 19, in Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, my goodness. If that doesn't describe the deep state, I don't know what does. They're a bunch of perverts, you know. Sodom and Gomorrah is a good description. And God's going to take it down, as he says. Now that just kind of leads us up and gives us a timing, because we can see the timing is now. And chapter 14 talks about a restoration to God's people. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob and shall yet choose Israel. There's that eklektos, right? Except this is the Hebrew word for the same. And set them in their own land. This is the whole point. God's people need to be living on their promised land. They need to live on the promises of God so that every place they put the sole of their foot, God will give it to them. We have to learn to go from faith to faith, right? And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and for handmaids. Yes, the people are going to realize the favor that God is showing to the Christians. Yeah, if God parted the Red Sea for you, you know, I mean, remember what Rahab said? Well, yeah, we know what God did, you know. So she knew she better be on God's side, right? They took them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Is it happening? Yes, it's happening. Obama did a little speech the other day with a couple of hundred people, while Trump had I don't know how many thousands of people. And he was a mess. He was a wreck. I had heard that they brought him back from another country. The SEAL team brought him back from another country. And Hillary, too. Don't know if that's true or not, but both of them look real bad. they're being ruled over. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy trouble. Yes, if you've been tribulated by these demons through these wicked people, yep, you'd be ready for a rest, right? I think that's what God's about to give. From the hard service wherein thou hast was made to serve, that thou shalt take up this parable against the king of Babylon. Now, most people recognize Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 as talking about the devil. I want you to look here. You know, I said in Hidden Manna a long, long time ago, many years ago, I wrote it there in Hidden Manna that Satan wanted to take over the United States because it's the head of the nations. If you rule the head, you rule the body. And so here we talk about the king of Babylon. But as you go down, it merges into the devil in verse 12. I'll get there in just a minute. Why is it merging into the devil? Because this is talking about the king of Babylon in whom the devil is. You know, that's not a stretch, is it? No. My goodness. We saw that. The faction of Babylon, the ignorance of the leadership, the U.S. harlot, 9-1-1. This is what they did to destroy people for their own greedy purposes, right? Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? See, that's what we're coming to, right? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He's talking about the fall of Babylon. That smote the peoples in wrath with a continual stroke, that ruled the nations in anger with a persecution that none restrained. Yes, who is that? Who else could it be but Babylon in America? Smote the peoples with a continual stroke. And now, how hath the oppressor ceased? Who was it being conquered by? Cyrus. Trump. And by the way, the man-child. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yeah, the people who started the wars all over the planet, killed people, raised up ISIS, created ISIS to march through the Middle East and Europe to kill people and to kill many Christians in the Middle East. And their plan was to do the same thing here. And still, they probably will get to kill some, the right ones. Okay, the right people, the ones that need to be killed. They break forth into singing. They finally got a rest from this deep state organized crime, sending their boys off to be killed. And the more they killed, the more they like it, because they sacrificed to Satan, right? Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid low, no hewer has come up against us. You think there's going to be a little bit of a time of peace here when the deep state goes down? I do. Relative peace. Sheol from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Listen, all the kings of the nations of history haven't had the authority, nor the power, nor the war-making ability, nor the ability to kill people like the deep state. All they shall answer and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to Sheol. They are very proud of themselves. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and worms cover thee. Now, suddenly, there wasn't any verse 12 there. Actually, it just went right on to say, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? Whoa. Satan's falling from heaven because Babylon is falling? Yes. The deep state who worships Satan, who bows to him, they're losing their dominion. They are falling. So who else is falling? Satan is falling. You know, when Jesus sent the disciples out to cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead, etc., etc., they came back bragging. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fallen from heaven. Yes, because he was losing his dominion. They were plundering him when they did the works of Jesus. They plundered him. Now we got a big revival coming too. And by the way, people are going to find out real Christianity is still alive. You know, they say it passed away. It's easy for you to say that when there's not a real revival going on out there and people are getting healed and raised from the dead and so on. So it's easy for people to say that. They can hide and say that. Their preachers can hide and say that. But when a real revival covers the earth, yeah, it's going to be harder and harder for them to prove that. That doctrine's going to look stupid just like the rest of them. How art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations? So there's the real culprit. He's the real culprit behind the king of Babylon. And thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He tried it too, didn't he? Prematurely. Prematurely. See, Obama was premature. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Of course, Abraham was told that his seed, which we know we are through faith, were as the stars of heaven. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I'm going to rule over them Christians. He's doing a pretty good job in most cases. He's recognized more in the, of course, the spirit-filled groups, but they can get even further astray because they believe any supernatural thing is from God. In the uttermost parts of the north. So there you have it. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yeah, they're worshiping Satan and they don't know it. They're worshiping another Jesus and they don't know it. It's Baal. It's Satan. You're either for me or against me, which is what anti means. And Antichrist is against, right? Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. They that see thee shall gaze at thee. They shall consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and overthrow the cities thereof, that let not his prisoners loose his prisoners to their home? Yes. You know, America, through the deep state and the wars that they've started falsely, like with 9-1-1, a false flag that got us into a war, and all the other false flags that have gotten us into the war, and the false flags that they're doing now to try to get their way, They don't care how many people they kill as long as they get their way. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast away from thy sepulchre like an abominable branch. Now, when it talks about the man down here, don't you know from the context it's talking about Satan in the man? Yeah, thou cast forth away from thy sepulchre like an abominable branch. In other words, they don't get to get buried. Clothed with the slain that are thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a dead body trodden underfoot. Though thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. Thou hast slain thy people. Who is it that's slaying their own people? The Satan in the deep state. So they're not coming to burial. Remember what happened to Osama? They said they buried him at sea. They didn't want to, you know, make something for people to go and worship at, you know. Wonder if Osama and Obama might both be buried at sea. You know, I can tell you, I bet when they take them down to the tribunals and they execute them for their many and evil crimes, that they won't want a place for people to go and worship at, you know. They might just bury them at sea. It'd be pretty close, right? Gitmo's real close to sea. Anyway, just a thought. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land. Thou hast slain thy people. This is a real Judas. The seed of the evildoers shall not be named forever. We don't want to make them famous. Put a tombstone up there for people to make them famous. We just want to forget about them, right? And who is it that's killing their own people, if it's not the factious deep state, factioning against their own people by slandering and passing off demons to people through slander? And who else? The faction in the church who gain people by slandering others who don't know the rules and don't obey them. So they gain people. They kill people, by the way. They kill their own people. One of them that fell into faction had a meeting in his home and her home, and they had a dream that they came to their house and everybody in the house was dead except for one person who escaped through the window. They were dead. And you know what? They all died. They died to God. They were taught to be factious, to slander other people without two or three witnesses, to make up lies, to defend their sins, and they all died. The people that owned the house that were having the meeting killed them. So the factions slaughter people. Dismember. Remember the dreams we had about factious people dismembering people? What do? They cut them off from the body. They don't belong in the body of Christ. If anybody that takes on their demons and acts that way is not in the body of Christ, they are dismembered. Amazing. So who is this? This is Satan in a body of people. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, Satan in a seven-head, ten-horned body of people. He has deceived the whole world. And all of the worldly church people, too, because they're a part of the world. They're not a part of the kingdom, you see. They're deceived. they've gone astray. They have become wicked. Verse 21, prepare ye slaughter for his children. Yes, they have prepared a slaughter for his children. That is Satan's children, right? Or even the children of Obama. He has prepared a slaughter for his children. For the iniquity of their fathers, that they rise not up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Wow, isn't it exactly so? The world, for the time being, is being taken back. And Satan is losing his dominion. And he's furious. And I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon name and remnant. And son and son's son, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine. You know, we've talked about porcupine Christians. They're the ones you can't get close to without getting stabbed. You know? Yep, that's their houses. They're full of porcupines. And pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom or the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. He's going to bring destruction to the faction movement. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. I will break the Assyrian in my land. Upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Remember how often we've shared with you the Sennacherib scenario. One time we were asking about the latest person who was a factious leader, and we got the finger went down on Sennacherib because these people, notice, they're joined in here with the Babylonians. Although the Assyrians came before the Babylonians, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, right? They came before them. They're joined in here as a type and a parable to be pointed out that is saying the same thing. I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden depart from off their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This parable is going to happen on the whole earth. Remember, I told you that each one of those kingdoms, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, they are a parable of the beast. They give you certain pieces of the beast kingdom. When you see, you know, how it fits, it all fits. And in the end time, the seed of all of those kingdoms is together in one kingdom we call the UN. And the UN is making war against America. It would be a good thing if they would push the UN building right off in the ocean. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall annul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Well, amen. Satan cast down nations to have dominion over them. But he himself is being cast down now for a short reprieve. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your mighty mercy towards us, Lord. We ask you to continue to teach us and give us understanding, Father. And thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. And I might continue with this a little bit. There's so many things to be seen here. I don't know. We'll see. We may have something more important. You know, voting day is right around the corner. And some people are saying 11-11. How many of you have seen 11-11 for the last years? Like it's something very, very important. Well, they're saying 11-11 is when they're going to go out and start rounding up the criminals. It remains to be seen, but that's a possibility. What would what would the enemy do if they knew on a certain day they were going to be rounded up? I think they would try to make the biggest distraction out there they possibly could. Like maybe a pestilence or slaughtering a bunch of people, you know, like they love to do. Or all of the above. Or burning down churches or whatever, you know. All of the above, you know, possibly. So anyway, saints, look for it. This next attack, I think, is going to be a big one, and I think it's going to come quick. And they're going to throw a big fit when the red wave takes them out. Because they don't believe in democracy. The devil is not a Democrat. He's not a Republican either. Anyway, they don't believe in democracy. So if you make the decision by the number of voting, they don't care. They want to impose their communist will upon you. Right? So we need to recognize them for who they are. All right. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Talk to you later. Good night.